Sage and onion and mashed potatoes. Her crinkled face crinkled further. Grebo, she said. Where'd we leave him?
Oh, he's only a cat, said Granny Weatherwax. Cats know how to look after themselves.
He's really just a great big softy, Nanny began, before someone started pulling down the wall. A hole appeared. A grey hand appeared and grasped another stone. There was a strong smell of river mud. Rock crumbled under heavy fingers.
Ladies, said a resonant voice.
Well, Mr. Saturday, said Nanny, as I live and breathe, saving your presence, of course.
Saturday grunted something and walked away. There was a hammering on the door and someone started fumbling with the keys. We don't want to hang around here, said Granny. Come on. They helped one another out through the hole. Saturday was on the other side of a small courtyard, striding towards the sound of the ball. And there was something behind him, trailing out like the tail of a comet.
What's that?
Mrs. Goggles doing, said Granny Weatherwax grimly. Behind Saturday, widening as it snaked through the palace grounds to the gate, was a stream of deeper darkness in the air. At first sight, it seemed to contain shapes, but closer inspection indicated that they weren't shapes at all, but a mere suggestion of shapes, forming and reforming. Eyes gleamed momentarily in the swirl. There was the chittering of crickets, and the whine of mosquitoes, the smell of moss, and the stink of river mud.
It's the swamp, said Magrat.
It's the idea of the swamp, said Granny. It's what you have to have first before you have the swamp.
Oh, dear, said Nanny. She shrugged. Well, Ella's got away, and so have we, and this is the part where we escape, yes? That's what we're supposed to do? None of them moved. They aren't very nice people in there, said Magrat after a while, but they don't deserve alligators.
You witches, stand right there,
said a voice behind them. Half a dozen guards were crowded around the hole in the wall.
Life's certainly busier in the city, said Nanny, pulling another hatpin from her hat. They've got crossbows, warned Magrat. There's not much you can do against crossbows. Projectile weapons is lesson 7, and I haven't had that yet.
They can't pull triggers if they think they've got flippers, said Granny, menacingly.
Now, said Nanny, let's not have any of that, eh? Everyone knows the good ones always win, especially when they're outnumbered.
The guards emerged. As they did so, a tall black shape dropped noiselessly from the wall behind them.
There, said Nanny, I said he wouldn't go far from his mummy, didn't I?
One or two of the guards realized that she was staring proudly past them and turned. As far as they were concerned, they confronted a tall, broad-shouldered man with a mane of black hair, an eye patch, and a very wide grin. He stood with his arms casually folded. He waited until he had their full attention, and then Grebo let his lips part slowly. Several of the men took a step backwards then. One of them said,
"Why worry? It's not as if he's got a weapon."
Grebo raised one hand. Claws make no noise as they slide out, but they ought to. They ought to make a noise like tsing. Grebo's grin widened.
Ah, these still worked.
One of the men was bright enough to raise his crossbow, but stupid enough to do it with Nanny Ogg standing behind him with a hatpin. Her hand moved so swiftly that any wisdom-seeking saffron-clad youth would have started the way of Mrs. Ogg there and then. The man screamed and dropped the bow.
Row!
Grebo leapt. Cats are like witches. They don't fight to kill, but to win. There is a difference. There's no point in killing an opponent. That way they won't know they've lost. And to be a real winner, you have to have an opponent who is beaten and knows it. There's no triumph over a corpse, but a beaten opponent, who will remain beaten every day of the remainder of their sad and wretched life, is something to treasure. Cats do not, of course, rationalise this far. They just like to send someone limping off minus a tail and a few square inches of fur. Grebo's technique was unscientific and wouldn't have stood a chance against any decent swordsmanship, but on his side was the fact that it is almost impossible to develop decent swordsmanship when you seem to have run into a food mixer that is biting your ear off. The witches watched with interest.
"I think we can leave him now," said Nanny. "I think he's having fun."
They hurried towards the hall. The orchestra was in the middle of a complicated number when the lead violinist happened to glance towards the door and then dropped his bow. The cellist turned to see what had caused this, followed his colleague's fixed stare, and in a moment of confusion,